Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Connolly, glad to be with you again here in this great, beautiful, wonderful, holy season of Lent. I hope it's been off to a great start for you. Very grateful that you are making the Rediscover Hour part of your Lenten journey. So as we're heading into this first weekend, first Sunday in the holy season of Lent, I'm wondering, how are things going? Yeah, are you doing all right? I mean, we're only a few days in, but sometimes people bite off more than they can chew in terms of their Lenten observances, right? They set themselves bars that are high, thinking, well, this is going to be great. Well, and then they stumble and fall. A couple of different ways of looking at that. One is that, okay, well, we need to be reasonable here as well and take into account our primary vocations in life, certainly the vocation of holiness and to draw ever nearer to our Lord. So there's that calling in our lives. But there's also the calling that the Lord has given us specifically in terms of our state in life. Are you called to be, or are you a priest or a religious or a married or a single? Where are you in terms of your calling? And you need to, this is straight from the handbook, Introduction to the Devout Life from St. Francis de Sales, right? You need to take upon yourself spiritual disciplines that do mesh well with your state in life as well. So you need to be aware of that. Another way of looking at it, I've heard this both from Catholic priests and bishops, yes, indeed, even bishops that I've heard say it before. But you know what? When we fall, when we pick something that's far beyond our abilities in Lent, and then we fail, well, it's just a good reminder that, you know, we can't do this thing on our own. It's all about the grace of God working in our lives. So maybe that's a good thing to be reminded of here in this first weekend in Lent. We're going to be talking about, in the gospel lesson this Sunday, we're talking about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness and his responses to the devil's temptations. So just a couple things. One of the things that is frequently drawn out of this passage in Scripture is Jesus's use of the Scriptures, of the Word of God, that's how he fends off the temptations of the devil. And indeed, the devil himself does use Scripture in order to try to trip Jesus up as well, but Jesus counters with more Scripture. So an obvious application that we can draw from this is that we need to have the Word of God deeply rooted within us. The written Word of God, the words of Scripture, needs to be deeply rooted within us. We need to be able to call upon it when we are tempted by the devil. There are Scriptures galore that speak to various kinds of temptation. And of course, if we have it ready at hand or ready to mind, then it is all that much more useful to us when we face those times of temptation. So maybe a good Lenten practice might just be to take some time to read through a book of Scripture that you have never read through or haven't read through in a long time. Maybe this is time to divide up a book of Scripture into the remaining, whatever it is, 40-some days of Lent, and then take it to day by day. Take it so that you can read through each a chapter a day or whatever it is, however it divides up. So that's one suggestion that I might have as you continue down this Lenten journey. Another thing that just struck me as I was meditating upon the gospel lesson is that very last line. I don't know that I've heard a lot of homilies on the last line of the temptation passage. Of course, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. But then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And I think that this is, for me, it just struck me this time as I was reading it, how Jesus himself, of course, he's a divine person, but a human nature, human form, and human limitations, quite frankly. So he's hungry, we're told that. And angels were sent to minister to him. And in his human need, they saw to what he needed. And I was struck by the thought of, once again, it's not about us doing this on our own. It's not about our own strength of will, except insofar as we say yes to the work of God in our lives. And I was, again, thinking about how many times when I'm making my way through this holy season of Lent, do I just kind of leave it up to myself rather than turning it over to God, right? And I don't realize how many times the Lord is sending his angels, is reminding me of his very presence with me as I'm walking through this journey. You know, when we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. That's what St. James tells us in his epistle. Equally, if we look at the story of the prodigal son, remember the father runs to meet, against all cultural limitations and cultural mores of the time, the father runs to meet his lost son because what was lost now is found. So in this journey of Lent, always remember that the Lord is right there to walk this journey with you, to lead you on, to strengthen you, to guide you, to minister to you. That's what he's all about, and that's what he wants. We just need to draw near to him. All right, so coming up on the show today, what have we got? We've got Kelsey Wanless, who's here to talk about Praise Be to You, an Integral Ecology Immersion Series. Sounds very interesting. We'll be with her in just a moment. After that, we're going to have Marcy Stockman. If you haven't heard her name, it should become, I hope, an everyday household name, because she is the foundress of and president of an international movement and book club called The Well-Read Mom. And then a little bit later on in the program, we're going to have two guys, John and Austin, who are going to be talking to us about In the Name Worship, a worship band comprised of youth ministers here locally in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. So let's, as always, here at the top of the show, pause, give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest is Kelsey Wanless, who's a stay-at-home mom. She's been married for 6 years, and they have 4 children, a 5-year-old, twin 3-year-olds, and a 1-year-old. And when she before her twins arrived, she did some freelance editorial and copy editing. And we asked her what her hobbies were, and she asked, does thinking count? And let me just say, Kelsey, I think thinking is a great hobby, and I want to encourage you in that. So welcome back to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. All right, so we want to talk about Praise Be to You, an Integral Ecology Immersion Series. I want to pick apart every one of those words and talk about it, but why don't you give us an overview about what it is?
Sure. So Praise Be to You is an 8-month series of retreats for Catholic families and young adults to really help cultivate and foster a culture of integral ecology, you know, in our families, in our home, in our work, and in our life. And when we talk about integral ecology, what that is really taking into account the whole of our being. So, you know, there's obviously prayer and contemplation. Union with the Lord in that way is central to our faith. But we're also human, and that's a great, I mean, we have a very unique place in the order of being, you know, and a very exalted place, but we have to take seriously our bodily being. And so this has been our pilot year. So we've been trying it out, and it's amazingly and just been going incredibly well. The way the retreats work is it's once a month. It's the first Saturday of the month. And like I said, it's for families and young adults. So it's meant to be something that's very, like, kids can easily come. You know, my kids are usually the ones that don't want to, you know, like it's meant to be a very comfortable environment. And each month has a different theme. So it's moved sequentially from wilderness, which we started in August, through to prayer and contemplation, which we'll finish up in April, I guess, is when it will be.
Okay.
So like I said, the first month was wilderness, this sense of like really taking time to stop and reflect on the fact that creation is ordered, it's intelligible, it's good, and that through the natural world, God wants to communicate something very important to us, and that's that he is good and that he loves us. But in our modern world, there's often a great disconnect, I think in some ways, especially in the Catholic spheres, but even just generally, such disconnect from the natural world. And so, like I said, the first retreat to stop, to pause, and really be in wilderness. So that retreat we met at the Mississippi Valley Wildlife Refuge.
I was going to ask if it was out in the wilderness. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, and it, I guess another thing would be that each retreat is in a different location based on the theme. So we moved to agriculture, you know, moving from wilderness to now we're starting to be, you know, kind of like co-artists, co-cooperators with God in the care of land. You know, and obviously in the fruits of the land. So we went to an organic farm in Wisconsin,
nice.
Which probably was like the highlight retreat thus far. I mean,
well,
we're just,
I mean, it's in Wisconsin. So how much better can you get? Sorry, I'm a Wisconsin.
My husband would like you. For
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
Then we moved to gardening. Now gardening, which was in October, and that was a little bit late in the seasons. What we did is it was a meditation on garden and on the fruits of the garden, preserving the fruits of the garden. So we actually met at Dr. Chris and Mary Thompson's house.
Sure.
Yep. And so we made applesauce, we made pickles, and just talked about, you know, we talked about the garden, about, and like I said, the fruits of the garden. And then we went to food. So we actually met at Mississippi Market in St. Paul.
Hmm.
And just a reflection on what is the food that we're consuming? How is the, like, where does the food come from? How is the food raised? You know, and to get a deeper sense of, you know, food as a moral act. It's a big theme, obviously, of the Catholic rural life, and to really think more attentively about the food that we're consuming and the impact that has on others, on the land, et cetera. The next retreat was homemaking, and that was really a meditation on the need to produce in our homes again. Something that's been of great interest to me just personally is how radically different our homes are post-industrial revolution.
Hmm.
Just this radical shift where, you know, home used to be a place of shared production in the home because so much of the work, you know, you either lived on a farm or you were cobblers from your home, but it was a shared work, whereas now our homes tend to be places of shared consumption because we just don't need to produce anymore. Production has been moved out of the home. And so...
Right. Where does food come from? The grocery store.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like where does that table come from? The store. Like we...
Yeah.
And so, so that one was, and it actually happened to be our twins, or my first, my fourth daughter's birthday,
okay.
The day after our twins' birthday. So it's kind of a fitting time to do home making.
Yeah.
The next retreat was the Integral Consumer. So that one was for adults only, actually. The men went to a cidery, Keepsake Cidery, down in, I think it's Dundas, Minnesota.
Okay.
And it was to really, similar to what I was getting at a little bit with food, is what are we consuming? You know, how do we make... How do we express our faith in the consumer choices that we make, and how do those consumer choices impact us? So the men went at this cidery down in Dundas, they raise all their own apples, or they grow all their own apples. So it's all locally done there. And so they got to meet with the owner, do a tour. And I heard, I mean, I didn't get to go because I'm a woman, but it was just delightful.
Okay.
And then the women met Sunday afternoon and did an integral beauty event. So we talked about... slow fashion and slow beauty. So really, like I said, stopping to think about how, you know, we've just been raised in a, and not at the fault of our own, but we're just raised in a culture where you consume in a certain way. And then obviously women love beauty. And so we talked both about just the state of the beauty industry when it comes to especially fast fashion and just the personal care industry, and then ways to counter that. And then we did, like, we figured out each other's color palettes and fashion personalities. And it was such, we just all loved it. So we actually have hopes for more, you know, similar events.
Okay.
The art retreat, actually, we would have done in February, but our family all came down with, I think, the flu. Whatever bug was going around, we got it. So the art retreat's actually going to be next month. And one of the beautiful things about this being a pilot is there are certain details that still get figured out along the way.
Right.
So we may end up at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. We may end up doing like a Lenten craft for the kids and just reflecting on a few pieces of art, like in someone's home. The details are still being worked out.
Sure.
But obviously art and the faith is, I mean, so many people have written on. Like, I wish Father Paul Murray could, you know, come and talk to us, or Liz Lev or something, but we'll keep it more local for now. And then we'll end with prayer. And we'll meet at the cathedral, we'll have mass, and just see how all of these pieces, you know, are part and parcel to our life of faith and to our friendship with Christ. So anyway, I guess in a long nutshell, That's been the series.
It sounds absolutely fascinating to me, and I love the thought that you have put into all of the different pieces and the components of it. What was it that inspired the thoughts around these things to begin with? I mean, was there is there a specific something that kind of said, this is what we should do?
Sort of. I wrote my master's thesis on, it's called Cooking, or Christ to the Kitchen, Principles for a Renewal of a Catholic Home Economy.
Okay.
So I grew up very materialistic. My poor parents, me always, I want a nicer car, like I want a bigger house, I want a different outfit every day, you know, just like I said, my parents have been made saints by me. But when I got to college and really started, like I started going to daily mass and started really learning what the faith even was. You know, I grew up going to mass, but wasn't necessarily really educated in the faith. And so I suddenly shift from being incredibly materialistic to now going to confession literally because I bought two pairs of pants, you know, or because I bought socks, you know, because I was like, how do I consume? Like, we're not supposed to be attached to material things, but I think I need socks. But, you know, and so the priest would always ask me, well, have you thought about religious life? You know, and there's a certain, I mean, that's a certainly a very fitting question to ask. But I realized as I got into my master's, so I did my undergrad in Catholic studies and my master's in Catholic studies. And as I got into my master's program, realized that that wasn't the answer to the question I was asking. What my question was is, how do we as lay faithful live well in the world? Because like I said earlier, the world we live in is so radically different than it was prior to the Industrial Revolution. And we have so many more options for consumption. We have basically zero need for production. And so how do we live well in the world? Like I said, of course, prayer is fun. I mean, that's the core, that's the foundation. But yet we're not just spiritual, we're not angels, we're not just spiritual beings, we are human beings. And so how do we both express our faith through our engagement with the material world, and how do those activities form our faith? And so I had read a book by William Kavanaugh called Being Consumed.
Yeah, I've read that.
Yeah. Yep. Fascinating when he talks about, you know, we often think of greed as the problem feeding materialism. And he said, actually, it's not that we're too attached to things, but actually we're not attached enough to things. You know, just as easily as I can buy the sweater I'm wearing, I can toss it away because it's just from, you know, a store, you know, like I didn't make this sweater. There's no attachment to it. And yet when we make things or we know the producer, there's a greater attachment. And so we don't fall into the habits of shopping, you know, and looking for fulfillment in the next best thing.
Right.
So that was sort of a big stepping stone for me. And then I read an article by David Schindler called Homelessness in the Modern Condition. And in it, he talks about the loss of the sense of home in our modern culture. So he's not using homelessness to talk about, you know, the plight of those on the margins in this case, but really the fact that, like I also had mentioned earlier, our homes are no longer, you know, the where culture is formed and passed on, really, or the culture that we are forming is really, like I said, one of shared consumption. Our homes are emblems of status, you know, or escapes from the rest of the world. And it just, this idea really sat with, really has stirred me and is just like, that's what stirs my heart. And so my master's thesis then was on, it was a problem-solution paper, the loss of the sense of home, and then how do we, like, what are ways to solve that? So I did principles of production and consumption, all illustrated by the home-cooked meal. So that was, I finished that in 2013, I think it was, and then I actually got married like a week after I presented that.
So you had to put what you were writing about right into practice immediately.
Right. Yeah, okay. And oddly enough, I got married and had zero desire to do it. Like all of these things I had been like pining to do, you know, as I'm writing my master's thesis, just when I, and then I had,
that's our, honest. I appreciate
and
that.
And we had our first son, 9 months after we got married. And I found that transition to motherhood incredibly difficult. And so in some ways I've actually the last, you know, 6 years felt like a failure.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, here I am so passionate about these things and I find them hard. And you know, I'm just trying to survive. And so I think there's been beauty in the way it's been, like, I think the principles are still very much there and necessary, but you know, I don't know. I think it's been an emptying thing, a very emptying process. And so now to reach this point of this series, so back to the specific question of kind of how it came about. That's the big background. But so about a year ago, I got really interested in integral beauty and actually had started working for a company that whose mission is to get safer beauty products into the hands of everyone. And so what got me started on it was precisely all of these things I've talked about. And so when I started it, you know, all this kind of vision for these things was trying to fit into my work with that company. And I was trying to use it as a platform. And one of the things I wanted to do was like monthly meetings, you know, to engage these things. And my husband was kind of pushing me on it, which at first I was a little bit frustrated by. I was like,
warning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But then he said, well, he said, so what's the purpose of this? I said, well, this is just, I think these topics are so important. Like, this is what like I want to do with my life and what I feel like the Lord is asking of me. And he said, well, what? So my husband really is the wisdom behind this. He said, well, what if you do an integral ecology immersion series? So it'd be, you know, it'd be a set amount of time. It would be, you know, certain topics each month. It would be for families and young adults. Because that's what, like one of the problems today is that, you know, before the family was the formator of culture. I mean, the family is the first and fundamental cell of society and the seedbed of Christian culture. And yet because of the lack of, like because homes, like we've lost sense of our homes, it's no longer the family that's really forming culture, but this industrial society that's forming the family. And so we need to reclaim that.
Yeah.
And then anything I've learned, I mean, all these things that I talk about really are the wisdom of so many other people, in some ways, most especially Dr. Christopher Thompson, who was my master's thesis director and just someone I've gotten to know his wife, Mary, a lot over the last year. Just, I so look up to them. And so we immediately reached out to them and asked them if they would want to do it with us. And so they've been, and like they make the difference. My husband and I say every time, there's been a couple when they haven't been able to come and they just, their lived wisdom and experience has really, I think, been one of the huge pieces that has made these retreats so successful.
That's so good. Well, I'm thinking I want to sign up for one of these things. Unfortunately, we only have a few seconds left, but I do want to give you the opportunity. So how can people find out more if you're going to, I know it's the pilot year and you're still figuring things out, but if you decide to do it again next year.
Yeah, this, you know, actually being asked to do this interview is like, okay, are we ready to, you know, to make this public.
It's public now, yeah.
And so, you know, we give the Lord small things, meager efforts, and if he wants it to become something, it will. And so this is the first step. So I imagine that we will be doing it. We had already planned to do it again next year. Now that it's public, I suppose it is public. So we'll have advertising then for next year, I assume, especially, you know, through the Archdiocese and upcoming, you know, Evangelization Now upcoming events. And you know, now there's some pieces to figure out. You know, we've had about 20 to 25 people each time. And, you know, it's been really beautiful. And, you know, if the Lord wants to share it, you know.
Do you have a web presence, either through a web page or Facebook or anything like that yet?
Not yet, but okay. I suppose maybe that will be coming.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. So just keep looking for it, folks. Keep looking for it on the web. You can Google Praise Be to You, an Integral Ecology Immersion Series.
Yeah.
Or Kelsey Wanless herself. I'm sure that would pop up if and when they get a web presence. So, Kelsey, it's been an absolute delight talking to you about this. I have some thoughts and questions and want to know more, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
No
problem. So thank you for joining us here on the Rediscovery Hour. God bless you and all you do.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So we're going to go take our first break. When we come back, we're going to have a phone call with Marcy Stockman, who is the president and founder of Well Read Mom. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Step forward. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United.
I realized working at Catholic United was the right career for me. About a year into it, I went to a wake for someone who had been a member of our parish volunteer team and very active. You know, I was nervous to go and got there, introduced myself to his kids and family and knew I was going to be helping them with the death claim. And his spouse was there and she was so happy to see me. She was so thankful that I took time out of the day to come and do this. That was the big moment for me.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/careers and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
I felt forgiveness in the deep recesses of my soul. I was so empty, and now I'm full. I'm whole. The world is cold and so.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. My apologies, I got my order mixed up here a little bit. Next up on the show, we've got John Boyle and Austin Bussey, who are part of the a worship band, interestingly, made up of youth ministers called In the Name, which is what we're going to talk to them about a little bit. But just to give you a little background on them, I found out that they've known each other actually since kindergarten and have some pretty parallel life journeys. They both grew up in Prior Lake and then went to school and both transferred into the University of St. Thomas and both graduated with Catholic Studies. John, you have theology as well. Austin, did you just do Catholic studies? That's
yes.
Enough.
Yeah.
You're okay just doing that. And now they're both youth ministers. So John is the coordinator of youth and young adult ministry at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park, and Austin is the director of Faith Formation, Youth Ministry, and Young Adults at Maternity of Mary in St. Paul. So welcome to you both, John and Austin.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for having us on.
Okay, so let's start off. There's a couple of things we can talk about here, but let's start off by talking about In the Name Worship. So it's a worship band, right? Okay, how did it come about?
Well, it's kind of interesting how it came about. We got together, me, Austin, and Elliot and Vianney, who are some of the other bandmates. We were just talking and we wanted to put on a praise and worship night in St. Paul,
okay.
Something central where many young adults can go to is accessible. And so we're like, we all play music. We all get it. We also asked Addie Diaz to come on as well. And so we just did this praise and worship night in St. Paul over the summer. This was summer of 2019. And it went really well. It was at Maternity of Mary where Austin works. And afterwards, we were approached to play for a parish festival.
Ooh.
And we just kind of looked at each other like, guys,
what?
are we a band?
We got something here.
Are we a band now?
We're a band. Oh my gosh.
So that's kind of how it started. It was weird how it started because we didn't see this coming. And we're like, all right, I guess there's a need for this. Sure, why not? We love doing it.
Okay, yeah. Wow. And can I ask, which Vianney is it that's part of it?
Vianney Wynn.
Is it? Okay, because
yeah.
I just asked because he's actually going to be on this show next week. We're going to be talking with him.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
So, I didn't even realize, but well, it's a small Catholic world. All right, so Austin, I mean, you were part of this as well. When you got contacted to go to this parish festival and be part of that and play for that, what was going on in your head? I mean, just thinking, wow, this could actually be something here. Yeah. It wasn't a one-off thing.
And it was super interesting because we started out with the idea we want to put on this praise and worship night. And then as soon as we were reached out to by this parish, we're like, there is a niche here that I think we just discovered, or at least we didn't really know existed. And it just made sense to flow right into that niche. So we've been doing praise and worship nights, adoration. We've done a couple parish festivals, parish concerts. So it never started as that being the goal.
Right,
But it's just kind of interesting how it all flowed from that. And it's, I mean, this the month of February, we're booked every weekend, which is great, and it's been really it's been a cool journey so far.
Wow,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you recorded anything, John?
Well, not really. We recorded ourselves with just covers.
Okay.
Covers of different songs, just to hear ourselves and see what it's like. But not really. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's all right. So people aren't going to be flocking to buy all your albums.
Right. Right.
Yet.
Exactly.
That's what I want to say.
Just
right.
Our average iPhone videos. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you know, they keep advertising that those iPhones are going to make better and better videos all the time. So who knows?
Yeah.
MTV, here you come. Okay. All right. Anyway, Austin, let's go back to you for a second. Just give us an idea who plays what, who, yeah. What are they? What's the instrumentation like there?
Yeah. So our lead singer and main acoustic guitar player, his name's Elliot Fonseca. He's the middle school youth minister at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata.
Okay.
And then Vianney Wynn is our keyboard player, and he's over at St. Michael in Stillwater.
Also vocalist.
Yeah, also vocalist. Addie Diaz is at St. Therese, and she's a vocalist, plays keys, plays guitar. She kind of does whatever we need her to do at the time.
Nice.
John's on percussion, and then I play bass guitar. So,
oh, I'm a bassist too.
There you go. Sweet.
I thought there was something cool about you. You guys are the rhythm section here, right? Yeah. So I love it. Okay, very good. All right. Yeah. And so you guys are coming from a long, you know, very disparate places here. We've got Stillwater and we've got Deep Haven, I mean, it sounds like. So, yeah, how do you make rehearsals work? And, I mean, do you, or maybe you don't rehearse. Maybe you just show up and do it.
I wish it was just that easy where we can just show up and do it. But, no, we find a central location, which, luckily, Maternity of Mary in St. Paul.
Right.
And we all kind of live around the St. Paul area.
Oh, okay.
So it just works out that way.
So most of the folks are commuting for work rather than for
right,
in
right.
the name.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. So how did it come up, Austin, how did it come up with In the Name Worship? How, the name In the Name?
So it was a super creative endeavor. The boss of one of our members, he was like as excited about this, if not more excited than we were at the time. And he just threw out, I don't know, 50 different names or so. And we're like, oh, that one could maybe work, maybe not. And then In the Name just flowed off the tongue, and it was available. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested like Hillsong. You say, yeah. Oh, wow, gosh, that's already been taken.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Strangely
Sadly.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird name for a band, but.
Yeah.
The first name we chose was Ecclesia Worship.
Okay.
Turns out they are a German band, and they were on the German Voice, so version of the Voice.
Really?
So we could not use that name.
No, nope. I guess that's taken. Yep. Okay. But, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Fascinating. All right. So in addition to all this stuff, that you're doing with In the Name Worship. By the way, I should ask, do you have a web presence or anything like that? Website that people can go to?
Yeah, our biggest presence is Facebook.
Is Facebook,
yeah,
okay.
So we have a Facebook page with all our events and pictures and videos and stuff like that, yeah.
And oftentimes I would assume that the events you're playing, it's intended for people to attend and to share some praise and worship time with you.
Yeah absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. But in addition to all this stuff, then you've also got a podcast going.
We do. Yeah. Austin and I and another youth minister in the Twin Cities area, H. Dorian.
And H. Dorian's not part of the In the Name.
No. Okay. No, he's not.
But
no.
He's all right. So, yep. So, all right. Go ahead. Podcast.
So we all live together in St. Paul.
Yeah.
And so we're three young adult men. All youth ministers all like to talk a lot and think we have some opinions. and we often just joked about starting a podcast.
Okay.
We're like, hey, we should start a podcast. And the funny thing about jokes, well, what makes jokes funny is that there's a little bit of truth to it.
Right.
And so that truth kind of like stuck with us and like, guys, we should actually do this. Like we have the tools. We know kind of what we want to talk about because we're all Catholic youth ministers. So let's do it. And so we did.
Okay.
It's called Dudes That Babble.
Dudes That Babble.
B-A-B-E-L.
E-L, yeah. That's
like the
what
tower.
I was thinking, right. Like, yeah, like the tower. Dudes That Babble. Nice. Very good. Awesome. You were all part of this in the beginning at the outset, too. What did you think of that you were going to talk about?
Initially, we all had the common ground of being youth ministers. And so we thought, yeah, that would be something that we would have experience in, something that we could talk about. But
actually being youth ministers or actually
youth ministry.
Youth ministry.
Yeah. And just different things like how to lead youth group, but things like that.
Okay,
nature.
Good. Go ahead.
But then it definitely navigated towards the young adult scene. As we were getting people coming up and saying, hey, I listened to your podcast. Like, it's really funny. It's really, you know, really insightful, whatever it may be. We're like, maybe we have a different audience than we intended. And from there it just kind of grew and it's also been a really cool journey with that. So, and that's been about a year that we've been going with it.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
How often do you release a new podcast, John?
Once a week.
Oh, it is once a week.
Yep,
okay.
Every single
good.
Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a fun time.
Yeah, I guess so. How long is each podcast typically?
We aim to go between 45 minutes and an hour.
Oh, that's,
sometimes it goes over and you know, that's okay.
But a longer, well, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty about podcasts, right? You don't have to, unlike certain radio shows, you know,
yeah,
which shall remain nameless. yes, they have to be in a specific time. So
yeah. We intend for this to be a podcast just to provide Catholic entertainment for people's drives on the way home or to work or whatever it may be. So it's loose in some episodes. In other episodes, we get more informative and talk about different things. So it's both funny and entertaining and also serious and good discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so my next question is, so you've got all the stuff you're booked every weekend this month in February, you said, and with In the Name Worship. And now you're releasing a podcast every, a 45 minute to an hour long podcast every Friday as well. So when do you actually find time to be youth ministers? That's what I want to know. No, seriously. Well, let me ask you this. You're both 2 years into youth ministry. Austin, we'll start with you. How have things been going? Have there been any surprises along the way, things you weren't necessarily anticipating as a youth minister?
I mean, definitely. I think, first of all, it's been great so far. I love the parish that I'm at. I love the staff that I get to work with. Our pastor is wonderful. My boss, our business administrator, she's awesome. So we have a really good culture of a work culture there. There's always surprises with everything. There's always the ups and downs. Like there's, oh man, this was a rough night, you know, and then the next week it's awesome. So, it's just been super fruitful though, because things like the band, things like our podcast have come from that experience, I think. And just the friendships, the youth ministry, young adults scene in the Twin Cities is second to none. As far as I'm concerned, it is just really a vibrant community, vibrant life. Everyone is super friendly and just wants to just be your friend with everything. So,
yeah. How about you, John? Have any surprises come your way here in these first 2 years of youth ministry in St. Vincent de Paul?
There, like Austin said, there's always surprises, but there was really nothing that I didn't expect coming. I expected that it was going to be rough in the beginning, that it's going to take a long time before you see any fruit come from what you're doing, because we're dealing with high schoolers, we're dealing with middle schoolers, kids who are still developing. And so it takes them a while. It takes any program a while to see any fruit from it. So I expected that. I was ready for that grind. There's really nothing that I didn't expect. And for my job, it's really nice because I have a lot of freedom. I only do youth ministry. I don't do anything with confirmation.
Okay.
And so all my focus is on building a community among the high schoolers and among the middle schoolers. So that is really nice.
Yeah. And it does, I would imagine that, although I joke that some of these things like the worship band and also the podcast can take away from that, but in actuality, I'm guessing the experiences that you're gaining in one place actually inform what you're doing in other places as well.
Definitely. A lot of the podcast episodes that we come up with, I'm like, I'm going to do this for youth group. This is great. I've already talked about it. I've researched it. Let's do it for youth group. Yeah. So they definitely weave together.
Going back to the podcast, I forgot to ask you, is it available on all the typical podcast platforms? Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
So yeah. Apple Podcasts is probably our biggest one. Apple, Spotify, and then we actually do have a website where we host all our podcasts.
Okay.
So yeah. DudesThatBabble.com.
DudesThatBabble, B-A-B-E-L. Yep. .com. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's, with In the Name Worship, and as you continue on in that way, there might be somebody listening who wants to book In the Name Worship. How might they go about doing something like that?
Yeah, so we have an email address, inthenameworship@gmail.com. Our manager, Emily, will answer any questions, anything that you may have, any questions. So
inthenameworship@gmail.com is the way to get in touch with them for the booking the worship band In the Name. And then go to dudesthatbabble.com for the podcast. Well, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, John and Austin, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I can see why your podcasts work. But thank you for coming into the Rediscover Hour and sharing a little bit about all these ways that the Lord is working in and through you. God bless you.
Yeah. Thank you
very much.
All right. We're going to go to break. And now we're going to have Marcy Stockman, president and founder of Well Read Mom, on right after this.
Discover. Let's see, we got some phone calls yet? Let's look. Oh, we do.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio. Have a question?
Jesus performed miracles. He raised the dead.
Yes.
He told his disciples, these miracles and greater will you do. Do you off the top of your head remember any of the disciples or the apostles? Did they raise the dead?
Oh, yes, of course they did. Acts the 9th.
Have a question about the faith? Give Father a call.
Melissa, are you with us?
Well, God bless you, Father Simon. I wanted to say thank you because what I really enjoy about your program is I like how you have delved into the multiple languages and you really deepen my understanding because instead of just reading one flat line, for lack of a better word, you know, you give me the slang, the vernacular of the century. You really give me such a good understanding.
Father Simon Says.
Sei gesund, as we say in Skokie, stay healthy.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Connolly with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now on the phone is Marcy Stockman, who's the founder and president of the International Movement and Book Club, Well-Read Mom. As a homeschool mom for 25 years, she co-founded a classical co-op for high school students. As a clinical nurse specialist in mental health, Marcy founded the Family Consulting Services at Kuyana Regional Medical Center, and she has spoken at the Minnesota Association of Catholic Homeschooling Educators Conference, the annual WRM conferences at the University of St. Thomas, as well as numerous organizations across the country. Marcy, thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
You are welcome. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and so let's start. Let's just talk about Well-Read Mom. What is the mission of Well-Read Mom as a book club, and how did it get going?
Well, the mission is to read more, and the mission is also to connect as women, to grow in friendship. So the way it started was my daughter had a baby, the first grandchild at the time. Anyway, she called me one day, and she was almost in tears, and she said, you know, Mom, isn't there any way to grow after college? You know, she said, I'm done going to these mothers groups. We're just talking about what kind of diaper to buy. And she said, I've been there three times. I'm not going back. And so I understood that she was really lonely and sort of in shock with the loneliness of being a new mom. And I also understood that I had been through that, when, you know, 30-plus years ago when I was a new mom. Mm-hmm. And I also understood I wasn't reading. So I had been doing some speaking up north in Minnesota where I live to women's groups, to mothers of preschoolers, and about, I just called it Well-Read Mom. I said, what are you guys reading? Let's talk about why reading matters for women. And I drive home sad because actually most people weren't reading, and they felt bad about it. And so all of a sudden I'm driving home sad thinking, I'm not really helping these women. I'm not helping myself because I'm struggling too. And so when Beth called me that day, we started talking about how if we help each other and we get together, you do a group in St. Paul, I'll do a group where I live, and I'll plan the questions, I'll organize the books. Let's do this together. Let's stay together and read really good books and grow in friendship. So that started in 2012, and it's just kind of taken off, surprisingly, across the country. And even in some other countries.
I was going to say, you also have an international presence, too, now.
Right. There's groups in Canada and some in Europe. And so, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
So what does a typical Well-Read Mom session look like when women get together to read and to discuss? What are they reading, and how do they discuss? What's the format?
Well, we wanted to raise the bar without crushing anyone. And we're living in a time in history that where reading is changing so quickly. We're becoming digital readers, which I don't have time to go into it, but it's where we are living with in a state of continual partial attention. So when we go to pick up a book, it's hard to focus, it's hard to pay attention. I mean, this happens to me. And so I just understand more as the years go by here how important it is that we maintain this ability to focus and to read deeply from good books, because our tradition, our faith is even passed on to us through literature. It's a way that we can kind of see the life of others, that we can grow in an understanding of who we are. It's we can imagine, you know, sort of the Ten Commandments in action, you know. So it's an important skill to keep, the ability to read and to pass down to our children.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, what are some of the titles that you're reading?
Wow, we read great books, we read worthy books, and during Advent and Lent, we read a spiritual classic. So a couple years ago, we read Dante's Divine Comedy, so that was sort of the most challenging one I've been in on. But some of them are, you know, not so long, but we do them based on themes. So one day I was reading Pope John Paul's Letter to Women, and I saw that he was thanking women in their various capacities, like thank you women who work, thank you women who are mothers, thank you women who are daughters. And it was just like a light bulb moment, because I thought, we can organize these books according to various capacities in a woman. You know, all women are daughters. All women are friends. And so we've had Year of the Friend, this year it's Year of the Artist. So,
yes. Talk a little bit. I saw that on your website, which, by the way, we should mention is wellreadmom.com. Tell us more about the Year of the Artist.
Well, we're looking at that theme, that theme of art, that theme of every woman in a way is an artist, even if we're not people think, oh, I can't paint, but it's really not about that. It's about that creativity that each person has and that aspect of our person that images God as being a co-creator with God. So we're looking at, in the literature this year, just ways where, we did The Return of the Prodigal Son, for example, during Advent, and that was about Rembrandt's painting of the Prodigal Son. So every book has something about art in it, mm-hmm. in one way or another, loosely connected, some of them, but...
Wonderful. And you've recently published your own book called The Well-Read Mom, right? Tell us a little more about that.
Well, that's been a journey, but...
I'll bet.
I think it's been good. It's kind of a tool, because when people are coming into Well-Read Mom, they can kind of get the story from the grassroots level, because it really has been grassroots. So it's the story, so it's an inspiration with the story, and then it persuades, because there's a lot of research in the book how reading transforms our parenting and moral imaginations and helps us grow in friendship. And then it's just an encouragement to develop your own reading practice and how to do that in the midst of mothering, in the midst of carpooling, you know, how we can not let go of taking care of our hearts, not let go of leaving our person behind in the years of serving. And women love to serve and give, and all of that's great. I think we're so good at it. But also to take care of our hearts in the process so that we can embrace, you know, our vocations. So the book is, it's funny. I even laugh out loud when I read it. I'm thinking, every time, and I know these stories, but there's a lot of parenting stories in there, because I show how when we read, we learn more about ourselves. We can see an angle of ourselves. We can see maybe an angle of one of our children or our husband, and we can face a situation in a new way. So Well-Read Mom groups, they meet for an hour and 15 minutes once a month, and they're pretty structured, you know, that you listen to the audio at the beginning, which is me usually, and then you have a companion that goes with it with the questions and something about the author, why we chose this particular book, a shorter version if you can't read it all, because there's only one rule in Well-Read Mom, and that's if you don't get the book read, don't apologize. I mean, maybe someone's just had a baby, or they're helping elderly parents, or they have a sick child. There's so many reasons, and we just don't need more guilt, you know. But we do need an atmosphere where we can see each other face-to-face, not online, you know, not through our phones and text, but really face-to-face, and where we grow in friendship, and we're really connected in a real way. So I think women have a need for that, and we're seeing that. The cry of the heart that my daughter had is really a cry that a lot of women have. Then we recognize we need each other. We need to see each other and keep reading, and reading helps friendship, and friendship encourages reading, and it kind of goes from there.
Absolutely. I can picture that there might be some mothers, especially with the tremendous demands on their time, mm-hmm. that might be tempted to say something along the lines of, you know, when am I going to make time to not just attend a book club meeting, but also to actually read the book? And I appreciate what you said, that there's no guilt, there's no apologizing for not getting the book read. However, at the same time, I also can connect with the life of your own daughter, who would say, you know what, I'm really thirsting for this. This is something I know that I need. And that, I assume, has been your experience with a lot of women that are involved with Well-Read Mom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for example, not having time to read, that's the number one reason people give. I don't have time to read. Another reason is I don't know where to start. And what we're seeing is that women who say, I'm just not a reader, I wasn't good at literature in high school, these women are coming along, joining in with us on the road. One woman, after 5 years in Well-Read Mom, she said, I am a reader. I can honestly say that. I'm a reader. And people who didn't have time for it before start to see the value in it, start to see, wow, with my friends, with accountability, I somehow work reading in. I somehow am able to get these books read, or some of them. Now, one woman didn't finish a book for 2 years. She was in Well-Read Mom and didn't finish a book, but she read several chapters. And, you know, reading a couple chapters of St. Augustine is better than not reading anything, right?
Yeah.
So no matter where you are in the reading process, you can succeed. That's the point here. Everyone who stays with it can develop a reading process. And maybe reading one chapter is success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no judgment. So anyway,
yeah.
I'm super grateful because I need to help myself, and I definitely need the accountability. But it's so tempting to think that, you know, you look at the next book and I think, oh, I don't have time. Or I think it's slipped into our cultural mentality that reading a novel is kind of a waste of time. And we don't want to admit that, but we think that because it's not efficient. It's, you know, so we're in this sort of utilitarian mindset that everything has to be, we're like robots. And this goes counter to that. And we experience, paradoxically, when we sit down and receive from reading a novel slowly, attentively, we receive a sort of restoration in that. There's a regenerative power that comes from just reading literature, good literature.
Yeah, well, you've sold me, no question about it. I don't know that I'm eligible for membership in Well-Read Mom, but you've sold me. So let's talk, we've just got about a little over a minute left here, but okay. let's talk a little bit about how women can either find a group to get involved with or to start one on their own. How do they go about that?
Well, on our website, we have some helps for that, and you can email us, and we'll help you get started. There's a map, so there's some groups that you can find in your area and maybe join. Or really, even if you start one with two other people or put it in your bulletin at church, it seems, I think we've got a process that is pretty easy to get started. And you don't have to be afraid about leading because we sort of take the work out of it. So if you just follow the format there and play the audios at the beginning and the end and use the companion and the other resources, women find it's pretty easy to run a group. It's not like anyone needs to be an expert.
Great. Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy, I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Thank you for reminding us all of the importance of reading and the transformation it can have in our own lives. Thank you for all that you're doing with Well-Read Mom, and I pray that God would continue to lead you and bless you in all that you do. Thanks for being on the program, Marcy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. We are going to go into our final break, and when we come back, as always, Paul and I will have many, many events, yes, to share with you about that are coming up to help you deepen your Lenten journey. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Or know someone who wants to make a change? Step forward. Make the transition. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. We are on a mission to grow the financial security of Catholics in your community.
I was actually an elementary school teacher for 4 years. I taught in Catholic schools, and I was a softball and volleyball coach. One of the great benefits to working at Catholic United is the ability to create your own schedule. When you're a young mom and a young parent, this has been a blessing because I can take the time off when I need to watch my daughter and make my own schedule and work with my husband to take care of our child, and it's been really great.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/sales career and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away the stone that hides you. Leave all sin and death behind you. See the Lord through eyes of faith.
Sitting right across the desk from me, as always, is the well-read auto harpist.
You just can't get rid of me, can you?
I know. Well, not that I would ever want to, Paul.
Here's a quarter.
All right, thanks. What do we got going on?
Prayerfully consider attending an upcoming prayer and listening event as part of the Archdiocesan Pre-Synod process. Make your voice heard. The next two prayer and listening events are Saturday, March 7th, 9 to noon at Transfiguration in Oakdale, and a bilingual event, English and Spanish, Saturday, March 14th, 9 to noon at St. Alphonsus Brooklyn Center. No registration required. Go to archspm.org/synod.
Open Window Theater invites you to the world over, an unforgettable tale of adventure, love, loss, and redemption. Drawing on a vast array of influences from the Bible to the Odyssey to Shakespeare, the world over masterfully speaks to the original beauty and goodness of the human person. Play runs now through March 15th at Open Window Theater in Invergrove Heights. For tickets, visit openwindowtheater.org.
The Church of St. Agnes, St. Paul invites you to their 2020 Lenten lecture series, The Sexual Revolution, the Catholic Church, and God's Plan for Life and Love. Each Friday in Lent, come for Stations of the Cross at 7. Stay for an engaging lecture on aspects of the aftermath of the sexual revolution and the Catholic response. Speakers include Dr. Deborah Savage, Deacon Nathan Allen, Dr. Rachel Liu, and Jason Adkins. For more information, visit churchofstagnes.org.
Are you looking to quiet your soul this Lent and enter more deeply into the heart of Jesus? Join us this Lent at St. Odilia in Shoreview for our Lenten Prayer of the Heart workshop to grow in your experience of prayer and to deepen your relationship with Jesus. Two sessions will be Monday, March 2nd with yours truly and Monday, March 9th with Father Stephen Borello from the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. The evenings go from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Cost is $20 per person. Register online at archspm.org/events.
The Miriam Dinner, hosted by Archbishop Bernard Hebda and Father David Bloom, is an event for women ages 16 to 35 who are discerning consecrated life. Discerning women and an accompanying pastor, youth minister, or consecrated religious are invited to the Church of the Holy Cross, Northeast Minneapolis, Tuesday, March 10th, 6 to 8 p.m. The evening includes evening prayer, dinner, testimonies, a tour of Bethany House. For more information and to RSVP, go to 10,000vocations.org.
And men, just a reminder, save the date for the 2020 Archdiocesan Men's Conference coming up March 28th, 2020. Keynote speaker will be Reverend Paul Scalia, son of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Go to archspm.org for more information.
And sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization. And enter your email address.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, you know what? We're gonna have another show next week.
I hope so.
As long as Paul allows it. And on the next...
it's allowed.
Okay, thanks. On the next Rediscover Hour, we are going to check in with Jason Adkins, but not about the St. Agnes Lenten's lecture series, but about the Minnesota Catholic Conference and the Minnesota Legislative Sessions. Also, our Great Catholic Parishes segment features St. Michael's in Stillwater with Youth Minister Vianney Nguyen, who we just talked about today with John and Austin. And Gail Dorn updates us on Cisco, the Catholic Center School's Center of Excellence. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for joining us. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.